Now, could I ask you to turn with me this evening to John's Gospel, chapter 3. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 16 together. During the week, we've been spending a little time in this chapter in the meetings in Belfast. And as I thought of this present meeting, I couldn't get away from verse 16. I believe with all my heart that there's one in the meeting tonight, just this verse is just for you. And I trust that those that are not saved will think about each word. It's God's word. And it's well been named, this verse, the Gospel in a nutshell. And anyone that's not saved in the meeting tonight through simple resting on Christ could be saved for time, for eternity. Let's read the verse together and let's think about the words as we read down this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. May the Lord graciously bless to us this simple reading from his own word this evening. I would judge in a company like this that there's not one that couldn't repeat this verse over to me this evening. I look back on my own experience, and I can never remember a time when I didn't know John 3 and 16. Indeed, we used to sing it, didn't we? 25 words in John 3:16. No greater words have ever been seen. 12 about God, and 12 about me, Son in the center, verse 16, John 3. We've all sung words like that, haven't we? Well, what I want to simply do tonight, for the few moments at the commencement of the meeting, is to just divide the verse in two. And first of all, I want to consider the reality of God. I hope those that are not saved in the meeting have thought a wee bit about God. You see, we're living in a day when there's no fear of God before their eyes. And it would be good tonight, very profitable, if the reality of God gripped the heart of everyone not saved in our meeting. You will notice, the verse starts with God, for God. And the first section ends with God, his only begotten Son. He gave his only begotten Son. I want to speak about tonight the reality of God. And then in our second, the section of the verse, I want to think about the responsibility to the gospel that you have. Because when a person faces the reality they're going to meet God, and a person feels their need, and I hope you feel your need, you have a responsibility tonight. And you will, in a measure, go out of this meeting exercising that responsibility, bowing the knee in repentance and trusting Christ, or you'll go out of this meeting still a Christ rejecter. I want to think of the responsibility sinners have in respect to the gospel. The reality of God. You know, as I turn this around in my mind, you can't think about God without thinking of the greatness of God. Isn't that right? Of course, our Bibles are full of the greatness of God. We're taken up with the greatness of men. We glory in men. And we never think about a God, all-powerful, almighty, a God that sits in the seat of glory itself. I was thinking today, Genesis chapter 27 and verse 1 tells us something about His greatness, doesn't it? He is the Almighty God. That tells me, unsaved one tonight, God has your breath in the palm of His hand. And that tells me, dear one in the meeting, all God needs to do is close His hand. And you're in eternity. And not saved. And meet God again you will. Oh, He's a powerful God. Holding all things up by the word of His mouth. I want you to get a hold of that. He's a powerful God. I was thinking as well, when we consider the greatness of God, I thought of His purity. Mind you, He's a pure God. He's of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. Doesn't Hosea tell us? Our God is a holy God. You know what that tells me? That tells me tonight one sin will keep you out of heaven, man. That tells me, dear lady in the meeting tonight, you die in your sins and you'll not be where He is. Sin is heinous. And God is holy. And we miss that today. The righteousness and the holiness of our great God. But doesn't the psalmist tell us something else? He tells us He's a personal God. Ah, yes. The psalmist could say He's my God. My God. And if His powerfulness tells me He controls us, and if His purity tells me of His holy and righteous, do you know, He's so personal, He knows exactly where you were last night. And He knows exactly what you were doing last night. That's the God that you're dealing with. You can, in a measure, deceive men. But deceive the God of the Bible, never. He's a God that knows you through and through. Your sins are listed. Your sins have been cataloged. And meet your sins again you will. Oh, the greatness of this God. He is personal God. But you know, I am thankful that Isaiah 25 tells me that this God is also a pardoning God. Great in His forgiveness. Great in His salvation. Meaning that He can meet the need of every Christless soul in the meeting tonight. Oh, the goodness of God. For God, when I think of the reality of God, I think of His greatness. When I think of the reality of my God, I think of His goodness. Because God so loved. I want you to get that. All the love of the God of eternity going out to the sinners of Adam's ruined race. Don't miss it. So love. What a wonderful God, this God. What rejoices my heart? I don't know if it touches your heart. But it's just this. That He loved me. Says someone, how do I know He loves me? The very fact you're not in hell, friend, tonight in the meeting is a proof positive to me that God loves you. And God, long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, don't despise such goodness. The goodness of God going out to sinners. You know, we take it for granted, don't we? Even as Christians, we take it for granted. He has put food on our tables, clothes on our back, and He has showered upon us every blessing. Oh, the goodness of Almighty God. And sometimes we don't even thank Him. Sinner, tonight in the meeting, don't you think that all the money you have, you got it. God gave it to you. And don't you think you're a self-made man tonight. Only the love of an eternal God, only God's love has blessed you so bountifully. And I just wonder, did you even give God thanks for the food tonight at the table? Mind you, His goodness. He's a God that's great. And He's a God who's infinitely good. But then I want you to see, for God so loved the world. That tells me of His grace, doesn't it? You see, it doesn't say, for God so loved religious people, good people, self-righteous people. It doesn't tell me that. And I believe with all my heart, when it says God so loved the world, I'm simple enough to believe it means the world. We don't limit that. If you limit the world at the start of the verse, you limit the whosoever down the verse. Because the whosoever is only part of the whole. And I'm thankful tonight that when I read God so loved the world, His love goes out to the world. But it's only the whosoever in the world that believes will be saved for eternity. Such grace. Just think of that. A world of sinners. Not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. This whole world condemned already, John 3:18. That's the world that the God of heaven loves. That's the world that His heart has gone out to. God so loved the world. Oh, the grace of Almighty God. Don't we sing at times? And I love the words, God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall, salvation full at highest cost. He offers free to all. My dear one, tonight, I can tell you with an open Bible before me, God loves you in the meeting because you're part of the world. God, the reality of God, His greatness, His goodness, His grace. I just want to bring the last little part of the first section to a close. I want you to think of His gift. That tells me something of the reality of God. God so loved the world that He gave willingly His only begotten Son. Oh, such the love of Almighty God. We have said often in the gospel, we have three boys, we wouldn't give one. God had one eternal Son, and down from the glory the Savior came. Tremendous moment. When the one that was daily God's delight, the one that ever existed with the Father, the one that was at the side of the Father from all eternity, took that tremendous stoop and came and was born of a virgin. God so loved the world that He gave. He gave Him to a manger. That was tremendous. From the brightness of the throne of glory to the darkness of a manger in a cattle shed, only His great eternal love made my Savior go. If that was tremendous, oh, I want you to get a hold of this tonight. For this is the very center
of the gospel message. What is it, says someone? The manger would never have saved us. But through Calvary, mind you, there's a full and a free salvation. And the one that stooped to the manger went to the cross at Calvary and lifted up. Was he to die? Oh, the gift of God, allowing his lovely son to be nailed upon Golgotha's tree. My dear one tonight, why was he there? He was there as the bearer of sin. He was there. And I tell you tonight, it rejoices my soul every time I think of it. He was there bearing my sin in his own body on the tree. And the very center of the gospel message is this: Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. And that's the message that Paul preached in Corinth. And that's the message that the Corinthians believed. It's the great central message of the death of the Savior at Calvary. How do you get salvation, says someone? Sure, you know I've been wanting salvation for years. How do I come into good of it? Do you know what faith says? Faith says if God gave Christ and Christ came to the cross, God gave everything when he gave his son. Christ done everything when he died at Calvary. And all a sinner needs to do is believe that Jesus, he took my place. He died for me. He bore my sin. And to look, to put it simply tonight, if my God was satisfied in raising him from the dead, why should I not be satisfied as well? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. My friend, get a hold of this. You're dealing with a God great in essence. You're dealing with a God in all his goodness. You're dealing with a God and his grace is unboundable. You're dealing with a God tonight, and his great gift was tremendous when he gave his lovely son at Calvary. Now quickly, what's the outcome of the death of Christ? Well, I would judge that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. To someone, that's too simple. Well, if you try anything else, you'll miss it. And I couldn't put it any more blunt than that. Because I just believe some of the Christians' children have, they'll tell you they're not looking for feelings, but that's exactly what they're looking for. Believe and feel safe, not in your book. I want to look at the responsibility a sinner has now to the message of the gospel. Look at the scope of it first of all. Oh, that grand word, whosoever. Whosoever will may come. We believe in the whosoever of the Bible. So someone, why do you do that? Well, in Mark 16, the Lord Jesus sent them into all the world to preach the gospel. That was the commission. To go and preach the gospel. Not to a select band. To preach the scope of the message is simply this. The whole world is the parish. We thank God tonight. There's a message for a whole world. Whosoever. Didn't the wee fellow say, that means you, and that means me, and that means everyone else. That's what whosoever means. And don't tell me it doesn't mean you tonight. It does. So some have missed it, and you're in a gospel meeting and wanting salvation? I don't believe a person can sit in a gospel meeting with a desire for salvation and have missed it. I believe that the Spirit has drawn you here tonight, not saved. And if you're in the meeting wanting it, God can save you. You're part of the whosoever. It's the scope of the message that is emphasized. But then look at the simplicity of the message.
whosoever believeth in him. Now, don't you get too much occupied with the believing, will you? Do you know my problem? Believing. I used to go up to my little bedroom in a little terrace house in East Belfast, and I used to pull the blinds down, and I used to fold my arms and close my eyes, and I used to really concentrate and really try to believe, and then open my eyes and feel if it was any different. Yeah, maybe you're like that. I thought, pity my wrong thinking, I thought if I believed enough that I'd be saved. And indeed, I thought that I hadn't believed enough, and that's why I wasn't saved. And you know what actually happened the night that I got God's salvation? I was reading John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son. I said, I believe in the Son. Sure, I believe in the Son. And you believe all about him, but you haven't believed on him yet. That's the difference. But I got past he that believeth on the Son. Says someone, what happened? I saw the wee word. H-A-T-H. And I forgot about believing. And what hit me was, if my God says I have it, I have it. Half means has. Simple as that. And suddenly, without even thinking about the believing, I knew I had believed. I want to help some young one in the meeting tonight. You see, my Savior has done everything necessary at Calvary. You tell me, what more does Christ need to do than what he has already done at the cross? When the Savior said, it's finished, everything was fully done. I'm thankful tonight. I'm not depending on a human work. I'm depending on one who finished the work for me at the cross. Now, if that work's finished, and all God asks you to do is believe it, and you have, you've got everlasting life. And you tell me you believe and you haven't got everlasting life, there's something wrong. Now you both come, the Bible and you the both aren't, if the Bible says you believe and have, how am I breaking this down simple enough? Tell me. What more do you need tonight? Dear one in the meeting, it is enough that Jesus died, rose again for me. I wonder, is there one in this present meeting and the simplicity of the message is just touching you right now and you're going to reach this point? What is it? I seek no other argument. I want no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and rose again. For me, is it enough tonight? You'll not get any more now. Oh, you're taking it. The scope of the message goes out to everyone not saved. And the simplicity of the message is this: all may live, for Christ has died. That whosoever believeth on him, you get to Christ. Because if you miss Christ, man, you'll miss heaven. And my dear woman tonight, you might be refined and outstanding, but you miss Christ and you'll be in hell for eternity. You see, what think ye of Christ is the test. Whosoever believeth on him, says someone, what will happen? Shall not perish. There's the security of the message. Shall not perish. I tell you tonight, everyone resting on the grace of God, on the work of Christ, and depending on precious blood that flowed from Emmanuel's veins that cleansed from all sin, is as sure of heaven as if they're already there. Should not
perish. Mind you, you will perish if you die without Christ.
For I believe with all my heart tonight, underneath the feet of every Christless soul in this meeting is a burning hell. And if you died where you sat tonight, you'd be in it. Perish. Oh, I'm thankful tonight I'm amongst those, and the torment and the fire my eyes shall never see. That's the security of the message. And what's the subject of this message? Well, Christ is the center of the message, but the subject's eternal life, isn't it? So if we don't perish, we will have eternal life. It's good to be saved. But I tell you, the prospect of heaven at the end of the journey, I pity you tonight, you're not saved in the meeting. If I never see Belfast, I'm sure of this, it'll be absent from the body and at home with the Lord in heaven. We're never, never going to perish. Oh, so someone, I'd love that tonight. Oh, that you would rise to your responsibility. God demands obedience. God demands repentance. God demands faith. Faith in Christ will save you. I want to quote the verse and then we'll sit down. I told Mr. Furfield we'd preach to about 10 past. For God, hope you're starting to think about God now. Will you do that? So loved, oh, his great eternal love. The world, sinners lost and ruined by the fall. That he gave, what a wonderful gift, his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth, trusteth, dependeth, resteth. Any other word you want to put in? Just simply means Christ for me. Whosoever believeth in him hath, should not perish, but hath everlasting life. May the Lord bless you. And I hope you don't miss heaven at the end of life's little journey.